Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses the current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. Stay tuned and listen to the movers and shakers in multifamily share their opinions and thoughts about what's old, what's new, and where the multifamily industry is heading in the future. You are listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Well, welcome and thank you for tuning in to Multifamily Matters, powered by the Multifamily Media Network and the only broadcast radio show in the nation that's solely dedicated to multifamily industry operations. I'm your host, Paul Marks, coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio, and we have a great show with a wonderful guest who is extremely knowledgeable and right in the middle of today's topic. And today we're discussing the topic of, hey, boomers, here come the Zoomers. How to lead, coach, and manage across multi-generational teams. Joining me by phone is a longtime multifamily industry veteran and author, the fabulous Ivy Crispin, the president and managing principal of Quest Management Group. Welcome, Ivy.
Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, and we just got through this show is being broadcast in July of 2024, and we just got finished with the National Apartment Association's Apartmentalize, and this was this topic came from a session that you did there, it's very interesting to me because I happen to be a boomer, and some of the information that you sent to me didn't surprise me, but I'm kind of thinking, why do some of these other generations think that boomers would be hard to work with? So we're going to jump into that in the conversation. But why don't you first talk about all the different generations that are currently in the multifamily workforce?
Yeah, well, again, thank you for having me today. I really appreciate it. I took on this course because I found that it was such a hot topic in today's world. And I'm a millennial myself. I'm an elder millennial. And I relate a lot to boomers and Gen X. I have a very different kind of work ethic. So when I kind of dug into this, I found such passion in it to kind of see what the seven generations are in the workforce and kind of what defined each one of them. Now, there's the greatest generation in the 1900s early on. Then we have the silent generation, which most of those are kind of phasing out of the workforce. There's still some. Those are people probably in their late 70s right now. We have the boomers, which, from 1946 to 64, which that's still a big, big portion of the workforce. Then we have the Generation X, and those are kind of the ones that have the least characteristics. We kind of laugh because they kind of blend between the boomers and millennials. The millennials, who have the very big voice in today's workforce. The Gen Z, which we all kind of, have our memes and jokes about a little bit, but they have a great place in the workforce. And the Gen Alphas that are coming in now, probably the next 6 to 10 years, we'll see more of them in the workforce. And I jumped into this course because it's fascinating to see, the different kind of stereotypes that we kind of roll into this. And there's positive stereotypes, I don't say only negative, and how they kind of play part in how we manage each other, how we work together, how we kind of guide our companies based on how many of each one of these generations of these employees we have in our workforce. So I kind of got drawn to this, and I found some really fascinating data and information. And, I found that myself as a millennial, I prefer to work with boomers. I don't really get along with them very well. I like their work ethic, and I end up hiring a lot of Gen Zs these days because it's the new next generation. So I'm around a lot of the different groupings, and I do see myself leaning towards one or finding ease with another group, and I just find it very fascinating. So I wanted to dig in and kind of do some more research on it.
Yeah, it is fascinating to me. It's fascinating to me that there are seven generations out there that are, with making up our workforce. As you said, the greatest generation is kind of phasing out. Gen Zers, boomers like myself, ultimately will be phasing out, retiring, and so forth. But tell us a little bit about some of the takeaways that you found from your research that of these differences in the generations.
Yeah, So out of the seven, we're seeing four mainly in the workforces today. That's the boomers, the Gen X, the millennials, and the Gen Zs. And some of the things you see with the boomers is they're more collaborative. They're a little bit more adverse to change. They really are focused on, like, the change, progress. They have personal fulfillment in their job. They find a little bit more satisfaction. And, you know, they kind of give themselves that pat on the back. They're proud of what they're doing, no matter what they're doing. And they like technology, but, you know, they're hesitant to kind of go forward with it. It's all new. But, you know, there's a little bit of a gap from that, and you get to a Gen X. They're a little bit more independent. They have more of a tech savviness. They came from the generation of people having cell phones and car phones, and they had, you know, computers and laptops. They were kind of that first generation to have those items. And they are more focused on a work-life balance. They give a lot to their work, but they know they have to give a lot to their home life as well, which I think is a very key aspect of that generation. Then you have the millennials, and I feel very related to this. I am a millennial, but they're driven, but they do have an entitlement, and I feel that. I'm very entrepreneurial, for sure, highly educated. You know, our generation was really pushed. You had to go to college. You got to get that master's. You had to keep on pushing and pushing. We're a little bit more flexible. So I say this in a way towards myself. I was called kind of a doormat when I was coming up in this industry because I would just say yes to anything. And I was working crazy hours, but it was all about the drive. I was very, you know, pushed to, you know, move up in title and rank. And instead of finding personal satisfaction in my role, I was kind of wanting to please others, and I wanted bragging rights. I wanted the title. I wanted the pay. I wanted the MBA, whatever it was. So it was very relatable to kind of what some of the attitudes and beliefs are with that generation. And then you have Gen Zs. They're very progressive, but they can be a little disloyal. They are very socially and politically aware. They're very prone to focus on diversity and inclusion, which is great. They're an evolving workforce, but they do definitely have a kind of a stigma against them that, you know, sometimes people say they might not be as hardworking or they're not as loyal. And I don't know if they're not as loyal. They're just more loyal to themselves. So you see a lot more of job hopping, but that's because they have the data that says that most people that stay at the same company year after year are more likely to make less money. And people who change jobs every 18 months to 36 months have a higher likelihood of growing their wealth personally over time and getting more expertise. So even though they have this disloyalty to them, kind of the stigma, what they're doing is really giving loyalty to themselves and their family or their personal growth, which has, you know, a positive, you know, outlook in its own right. So each one of the generations are very, very different. But when you put them together in a workforce, there's a balance you can really build and get this future going that's going to really, like, drive success. And that's what I kind of find fascinating about digging into these different generations.
Yeah, we've got about 2.5 minutes left in the segment. I wanted to ask you, based on your practical experience in the industry, the data that you were able to uncover, is it true to form? Are you seeing that's what your personal experience is showing you, how these attitudes of the different generations are? And if so, how have you been able to kind of, now that you know the data, understand it more?
I do think there's some relatability to this. I would say the biggest one I don't really agree with completely are the boomers. I feel that they are definitely more flexible. It kind of, you know, they're like, well, they're not as flexible. They're kind of focused on doing the job. But I've seen in most recent years, a lot of my employees and my, you know, people I collaborate with that are boomers are more flexible. They're excited about the changes. They're kind of jumping in and, you know, wanting to learn more, and they're getting more involved in the tech. And I think that attitude that they had maybe 10 years ago has really shifted. So I've seen a different shift in that. And I also think that, you know, I do think Gen Zs get a bad rap sometimes, and I find a value in their role so much in my industry, at least. And working in multifamily, I love bringing in their fresh ideas and thoughts, and it's like a hype. It's like kind of hypes the whole team. So I think, you know, that part that they're disloyal, yes, a little bit maybe, but I think they're just, you know, I think I respect their personal ambition. And a lot of us in different generations, we were all about the grind and the hustle, and we didn't take care of ourselves. And so I do respect that they focus on themselves a little bit more than maybe the other generations. So even though it's maybe a negative on paper, I think there's a positivity in the workforce you can really dig from.
Perfect, perfect. Well, I think we're going to break it here. We are going to be back after these messages. You are listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Is your multifamily property still on clunky mechanical locks or managing multiple systems for electronic locks? There's a better way to manage your property's access. Zintra is a single system to manage unit, perimeter, and amenity spaces for your multifamily property. Zintra is designed for property and maintenance staff who are overwhelmed and need a system that works from the leasing office to on the go with the Zintra mobile app. Whether you're a leasing agent handling a move-in, a property manager generating reports, or maintenance staff accessing a work order, Zintra will handle your access needs simply and securely. Zintra is paired with Schlage's world-class line of hardware and is now the first to be able to offer Resident Key in Apple Wallet as a solution for tap-and-go entry to all access points on your property with an iPhone or Apple Watch. With Zintra, you don't have to sacrifice between a world-class experience for your residents and decreasing the workload on your staff. Zintra is quick, simple, and secure enough to handle all your multifamily property's access needs. To get started, visit Zintra.co. Zentra.co. Zintra.co. Or contact your Allegion representative.
Your multifamily property's water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. E-Conserve has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call E-Conserve today at 713-662-3220. For a free analysis of your property, that's eConserve at 713-662-3220.
Elevate your apartment game with multi-housing news and their exclusive newsletters. MHN is the leading integrated resource for people and companies that own, invest in, develop, manage, and or market multifamily real estate. Join the thousands of real estate professionals who trust MHN in their daily, weekly, and bi-monthly newsletters to keep them informed and inspired with property management trends, news, podcasts, and more. Find out more information at multihousingnews.com/subscriptions.
Looking for a solution to balance your assets? Tired of wasted time managing your day-to-day bookkeeping, buggy software implementations, inaccurate financials? Or maybe you're worried about a pending audit? Would you like more time to focus on revenue-generating activities versus accounting administrative activities? Here at Balanced Asset Solutions, we are a CPA firm that specializes in property management platforms, including Yardi and Appfolio. You can reach Balanced Asset Solutions now at 619-415-6826. Go visit our website at www.balancedassetsolutions.com. Don't delay. Call Balanced Asset Solutions today.
We are back, and you are listening to Multifamily Matters, powered by the Multifamily Media Network, and coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio. And we're discussing the topic of, hey, boomers, here come the zoomers, how to lead, coach, and manage across multi-generational teams. I'm Paul Marks, and joining me by phone is a longtime multifamily industry veteran, an author, the amazing Ivy Christman, the president and managing principal of Quest Management Group. I do want to remind our listeners, if you'd like to provide show topics, guest ideas, suggestions, or just listen to the archived episode of Multifamily Matters, please go to our website at multifamilyradio.com. So, Ivy, in the break we were talking about, kind of the natural progression of the discussion would fall into what are the preferences of the different generations within the workforce and multifamily now, and the stigmas attached to those, and how do you manage them?
Yeah, so what we see a lot is people make that assumption that, oh, you're a boomer, so you must be X, or if you're a millennial, you must do Y. And I think that really falls to really a failure in leadership. I think one of the big things I try to focus for my management staff and just for myself is really asking about preferences. I make sure that I have that one-on-one conversation with every one of my team to see that they're explaining who they are, how they like to be managed, kind of what their own personal preferences are with technology, with, you know, old school ways, administration, marketing, sales, whatever it might be, because I don't want to make that assumption. I have somebody who works with me right now that is a boomer, but she is so tech savvy, and she's jumping into all the new software, and she's the first to ask questions and sharing, like, I heard about this tech and I heard about that. And if I was to make the assumption, because she's a boomer, I would assume that she doesn't like that stuff and she's not good at those things. But we talked a long time ago, and she's like, I love tech. I love this kind of stuff. And so I make sure from that point on, that was, you know, I've met her, my goodness, 11 years ago, I've always asked those questions. And I think that's a big part of our industry is, because we've done it for a long time, it's kind of a copy and paste sometimes, we forget to really dig in with our teams and ask those questions. So I think it's really important that you understand the generations and, you know, the stigmas, but you don't resist the differences, but you embrace them. And I think there's a wide range of different behaviors that vary from different generation to different generation, but they work really well together. So finding those kind of ebbs and flows are really important in our industry. You know, promoting mutual respect in the workplace, I know that should be something you don't have to say, but when you have different generations, you don't want, you know, a Gen Z saying, oh, these boomers are so slow or this. You don't want these millennials saying, oh, these, you know, Gen Zs don't work hard, they're not loyal. You want this respect for each other. You want them to see the pros and cons of each role and elevate those pros. And instead of complaining about the cons, say, okay, you know what, I have cons too. Mine are just different. So let's work together and really balance that. You know, I ask a lot of questions with my team because I want them to have like a professional development that they can do each day of the week, every day of the month, every day of the year. And it comes from really telling us how they like to be managed, what they think they're good at, what they think they need to work on, and how maybe coworkers from maybe different generations can help them get there. And, you know, I think it's very, very important that you don't assume that every generation reacts to the same milestones as somebody else. So, you know, some people are really, you know, rewarded by acknowledgement. That's a public email. But some people don't like that. Some people like a pat on the back. Some people don't. Some people just are money focused. Some people are title focused. But you can't lump them into a generation. It's really individual. And as we get into a world where AI is, you know, enhancing and there's a lot more demands and there's complications in our industry and a lot of red tape, you have to focus on your people. Your people are what's going to drive your success. And if we are not giving them the time, energy, and effort, we will fail as leaders and we will fail in our multifamily industry. You know, housing and health are what people care about. I mean, obviously their family and everything else, but you're controlling their housing. So you want your team that's working in the field to feel respected, to feel motivated, and to really work well together so they can take care of that for your residents. And it comes from you first. As a leader, you really have to ask those, like, engaging questions. And I, you know, I make notes on all my employees, like, hey, loves this, doesn't like this, appreciates this. And when I go through, you know, my annual evaluations with everybody, I can talk about those things, like, hey, did you focus more on this year? Or did you have more training in this? And I think it goes a long way that I remember that, and I make note of it. Or if I see a really good class or something that NAA or MMHA or somebody is doing, I will send over saying, hey, you know, Sarah or whatever, this is something you have a big interest in. Why don't you take this class? I'll pay for it for you. And it goes a long way. And I just think that, you know, really digging into individuals and not just their age group, it makes a huge difference.
Yeah, and we've got about 6 minutes left in this segment. I would think that obviously all the generations like it when somebody who they work with or work for knows the things that they like and are able to bring those up and so forth. It's just I think that has a lot to do with, and I don't mean this in a bad way. It's the hey, they've got an ego. They like to know that they're being noticed and so forth. But what do you feel is currently right now the most prevalent generation? What makes up most of the workforce in multifamily?
So right now you're seeing a majority of millennials really taking over. So you still see about 29% of millennials are really, really engaged and they're really focusing. But right now over 30% of leadership roles are by millennials. Rumors are still in there. They're just phasing out slowly, not very fast paced. But you're seeing more millennials taking over. Even Gen Xers, because of their kind of their role back in the 90s, they started getting into like leadership roles or management roles or career in general. They're not, they don't come off as motivated as some others. So we're seeing about, in the next 2 years, you're going to see about the age of 65, 74, so those boomers, about 30% of those people will still be working, but not as much in the leadership roles. In the day-to-day, you're going to see a lot more of them kind of phase in. It's even as Gen Xers, but you're going to see more millennials taking over. So we're still young. I'm an elder millennial. I'm 42. I still have 25 years left or so. So you're going to see that kind of take over. And you still, you know, in our industry alone, I like to point out that, you know, we still have a mix. I think you're going to always see some boomers until the very, very end. Like, I think a lot of people in that generation are going to stay, like, a lot of them like those kind of resident coordinator roles or, you know, kind of more admin kind of roles at corporate level. It's going to last for a lot longer. I have, you know, people in my corporate office that are in their late 60s. They're not planning on retiring anytime soon. It's more a hobby for them at this juncture. So they might have 10 or 15 years left still in the workforce just because they enjoy it. And it's, you know, it's rather than going home and, you know, doing nothing, they want to do that. So I don't have the exact stats of what it's going to be for every role, but I believe overall we're seeing that millennials are going to stay. And you see, you know, the Gen Xers, of course, are still going to be working, but it's a little bit different. You see more leadership coming from millennials these days. I think it's our you know, ongoing goal to always please and do our very best and check the box. Again, we're very entrepreneurial, and we came from a generation of you've got to go to college, you've got to do well, you've got to be a leader. And I think a lot of us are still have that really ingrained in us, and that's what we're focused on.
We've got about 3 minutes left in the segment, Ed, and I guess one of the questions I have is the traditional way of entering into the industry is, you know, working. You know, people fall into the industry by accidentally or with not without the intention of making a career, and they end up, most people end up never getting away from it, but they fall into a leasing or marketing position. Is that mm-hmm. what you're seeing with these younger generations?
We are. They're kind of coming in. A lot of people are coming in. They don't – leasing back in the day used to be kind of a transition. You want to be a leasing agent, then an assistant manager, then a manager. But now leasing is a career. So we're seeing a lot more people coming in, that generation. They want to bring that social media element. They want to bring that kind of brand ambassador element. So we're kind of recreating that leasing role to have encompassing, like, other things and making it more of a career. So we are seeing more of that. They're kind of falling into it because – they don't really like the idea of sales so much, but it's more, we can't use these crazy terms. Like I said, brand ambassadors, we say. Like, I'm selling the brand of the community residence. I'm doing branded events. And, yes, there's leasing in there and renewals, but it's kind of an evolving role. So we're seeing more of that. I have several employees in their low 20s, and that's what they do right now. They really like it, and they bring this really engaging atmosphere. And we're kind of recreating those titles and working, you know, a new job role and job description. But it's they definitely fell into it. They're kind of looking for something. They don't know exactly what it is. They do wish it was from home. Most of the Gen Zers want to work hybrid or remote, about 63% actually. So that's, you know, trying to work with them in some capacity to still come to a 9-to-5 is hard. But we're working around it. We're making adjustments and concessions and trying to really recreate that for them to get them.
And we got 1 minute left in the segment, but that's a good question. You know, obviously the pandemic contributed to a lot of the people in the industry working remote who could work remote. And then now that we've gone past that, you know, positions are going back to, in a lot of cases, to where it's not as remote or a hybrid of some kind. Do you think that's going to be an issue with the Gen Zers as far as they're going to leave the industry to go someplace where they can work remote if it's not available?
I think so. I think that's going to be a complication for almost any industry, but I think we have to adapt. I think there's a school actually out in maybe Massachusetts that already switched over doing 4-day school weeks. We rolled out a 4-day work week about 2.5 years ago, and you have to kind of hit your goals every month, and if you earn it, the next month you guys get a 4-day work week, and we pay you for your 40 hours, but you don't work that much. And that was our way to kind of appeal to the generations that want to have a hybrid or remote work environment. We don't find that those roles work well with remote work. Managers a little bit, but it's still being on site is where you need to be to see and feel what's going on in the communities. But that four-day work week did shift and made it more appealing for us. We've had less turnover for staffing. Currently, I have about 150 employees. I only have two openings. So it's showing that people are staying and they're happy. We just had to make some adjustments. And that can be hard to sell to everybody, but it's working for us right now. But we just can't do it business as usual. It has to be innovative. You have to be proactive. And we know they want the hybrid, so we're making a different form of a hybrid to make it work for them.
All right, perfect. Well, we are going to break it here. We're going to be back right after these messages. You are listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Application fraud in multifamily is a major challenge we're all contending with today, and the risk is ever increasing, making it more important than ever to strive for driving delinquency to 0%. If you could eliminate the worst form of application fraud with just a few clicks, you would, right? With PayScore, accuracy is everything. By automating income verification, they deliver clear, concise, and 100% bank-verified income reports in minutes. No more doubts, delays, or fraud. Just the truth about applicant income. PayScore. Accurate, easy, safe. Visit PayScore.com and start verifying with confidence. PayScore. Click, verify,
relax. Do you have multiple multifamily properties in your portfolio? Take control of your unpredictable IT spending with our managed IT services. Whether you have 5 or 500 properties, CTS has you covered with 24/7 nationwide remote and on-site support. Our pricing allows you to budget IT costs year after year with a predictable flat monthly rate. CTS provides the expertise, management, support, and tech infrastructure for all your properties. Call 888-255-9715 or visit ctsglobaltech.com for a free quote.
REV, the multifamily leasing company, is the industry's long-term affordable leasing management solution. After all, it's really not about cost. It's really all about revenues. Book REV's expert directors and leasing career professionals for your properties today. Let REV drive revenues and create significant incremental value for you. Reduce stress, stabilize and maximize leasing performance. Never expend resources to recruit or train for leasing again. Lease up, value add, conventional leasing. Let REV be your long-term leasing solution. Go to revlmc.com to find out more. That's revlmc.com. REV is revolutionizing multifamily leasing. Hire REV today.
Well, we are back, and you are listening to Multifamily Matters, powered by the Multifamily Media Network, and coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio. And we're discussing the topic of, hey, boomers, here come the zoomers, how to lead, coach, and manage across multi-generational teams. I'm Paul Marks, and joining me by phone is a longtime multifamily veteran and author, the fantastic Ivy Crispin, the president and managing principal of Quest Management Group. I do want to take a moment and thank some of our exclusive sponsors that make Multifamily Matters possible. Econserve, providing multifamily water conservation solutions for properties across the U.S. REV, the leasing management company. REV is revolutionizing multifamily leasing. PayScore, learn the truth about applicant income. And Allegion, a leading provider of mobile-enabled products and solutions for efficient access control within multifamily properties. So, Ivy, during the break, we were talking a little bit about some of the things that you did in your presentation at Apartmentalize with this topic, and one of them was finding motivation for the different or motivators for the different generations. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah. So we go into this industry and we kind of, you divide the roles up. You have your managers, your assistants, your leasing, and you have maintenance. And we kind of clump them together, which is a little bit difficult. And then we have the people who kind of have the bad habits of clumping in the generations together. Well, this generation wants this or this wants this. And we really, at my company, we really changed how we looked at things. And we did this course. The people I spoke with were great. They work in HR departments of their company, and they shared so much insight. And part of it was about finding motivators for the individuals, but also in their roles. So asking a lot of questions, but kind of removing the us versus them narrative. A lot of people at corporate, at the corporate level or leadership level, sometimes it's, oh, well, that's, you know, I don't do that, but my other people in this generation do, or I don't do that, but just other people do it. So we kind of focused on, you know, managing and leading. And to do that, the best way is to really define the roles of each one of your roles on site, defining them really clearly and looking at who's filling those roles and really kind of putting yourself in their shoes and understanding their problems, understanding their obstacles, understanding their motivators to get the job done. If I have a manager who's been doing this for 1 year, his or her motivators might be different. But somebody's been doing it for 30 years, it might be the same or different, but I don't want to assume. I want to really dig in and spend time with them and really know what their needs are and their wants are. I make sure I do everything myself. So I don't make you do anything I am not willing to do. And I think that's a big, maybe it's a millennial thing, I'm not sure, but I make sure of it. So if I'm making you go do, you know, walk at 30 units a day, I'm going to go walk 30 units with you for a day. I want you to find trust in me because I'm not just going to make you do it. And I find that that's very, that inclusivity really does work at all the generational levels. They appreciate having a leader who's not going to just dictate, but also going to just kind of show them the way and do it with them. I always encourage feedback. And I say, look, I don't want you criticizing everything or giving me only negative, you know, feedback, but I want real feedback. And I want to encourage you to speak the truth. A lot of times you'll see in these different generations, boomers and millennials actually have a tendency to kind of gloss over sometimes. It's fine, everything's fine, because they're going to get the job done. But Gen X's and Gen Z's more likely to kind of weigh in and give you the truth, maybe sometimes harsher than it needs to be. And again, those are kind of stereotypical assumptions, but it is pretty on trend what you see more often in the field. So it makes you offer like this open dialogue and this open safe space, but give them examples of a positive feedback or a negative feedback and how to kind of word that so it can be constructive. I also really remind my teams to speak up privately if it makes them more comfortable. So as a leader, we always do these meetings, we'll have these like team meetings in front of everybody. We ask, do you like this? Do you not like this? And they're always like, oh, it's fine. Or nobody says anything. And I feel like when you have different generations, you don't know how people are going to take you necessarily, or even just new people maybe you're working with or people you've known for a long time. So I always remind my leaders to, again, put themselves, yourself in their shoes and offer a private conversation. You know, go and walk into their office. Don't say my door is open to you. Open their door and say, let's talk about it. Tell me how you're really feeling. Tell me what's really motivating you or discouraging you. And I think it goes a lot further in your leadership role. And, you know, I think another thing that I really, really want everybody to focus on is you have to take your generation out of it. I'm a millennial. Like I said, I'm an elder millennial. I have an old soul. I think I'm a boomer at heart, maybe. But don't take what you're comfortable with or what you like or how you work and kind of force on everybody. Really, you know, be receptive to the different generations and talk the way they like to listen and ask questions the way that they appreciate it. You should be managing differently to each one of your employees. And that's something that sometimes us as leaders, we miss that. We lead a certain way, and we have these employees that really are receptive to it, like, oh, those are better employees. Well, no, we need to lead differently to everybody so that everybody can be the best employee they can be because they're being valued and appreciated and listened to. And I always say, everybody, don't excuse bad behavior. We have such a tendency to say, oh, you know, that's a boomer, or that's a Gen Xer, that's a millennial, that's just what they do. Don't do that. You know, it's okay to pull them aside and say, hey, look, these are, you know, these are bad habits. We all have bad habits. But I want you to, you know, once a day or once a week, write down the times you think you did this. And then I want you to be like, okay, could I do it less? Or could I do it differently? Or could I do it better? Or could I ask for help? Or whatever it might be. But don't just make excuses for it because, oh, that just goes with their generation or who they are. I think it's really important as leaders to really hold people accountable, but don't just hold them accountable and say, don't do that. Give them examples and ways to improve and be better, especially working with other generations. I see it sometimes in the field where I have somebody who's a boomer working with somebody who's a Gen Zer, and they make assumptions for each other. Don't do that. You know, really ask questions and engage, and don't excuse bad stuff, but let's talk through it and say, hey, I don't like when you do this, but if you could do it this way, I could adapt to that. And, you know, is there something I can do differently to make it easier to work with me as well? And I think if you open that up, it really does change the conversation and change the dynamic on site.
We've got about 4 minutes left in this segment. And, you know, in listening to that, everything you were saying, in my mind, I'm thinking, you know, and I know you mentioned that you work for some large companies. Probably there are companies out there that in our industry that do not have the foresight or they're not as flexible in the way they manage their people to be able to take the different generations and what their needs are and how to what their motivators are, take those into account. But if they don't, that's really kind of doing a disservice, don't you think? What would your recommendations be for companies out there when it comes to working with multi-generational teams?
So I always tell my team, an invoice can wait one day. You know, you can call back a resident in 15 minutes instead of 5 minutes. Take the time each day to make yourself better. And that means going on to YouTube and watching a 5-minute video. Go to Multifamily Matters and listen to a podcast. There's a ton on there to listen to. You know, go to your local housing authority's website and see what classes are coming up. You have to make time to make yourself better every day. If you don't make yourself better every day, you will be failing your team. And it doesn't matter how much chaos and minutia is out there. It's going to get worse and worse and worse if you're not focusing on yourself and how you can lead and be better. I take so many classes and courses that, look, some of them I love and I'm like, wow, this was the best day. I'm so glad I did this. And there's some where I'm like, it was okay. But every time I do it, I check that box and I'm like, you know what? I took a step to be a better leader today. And I can be proud of that. And I know that I'm not just becoming stagnant. Stagnant leaders create stagnant teams and stagnant objectives. And you're just never going to move forward. So you have to make the time, you carve it out. You put on there just like a lunch break. You carve out, I need 30 minutes of me time to help make myself better so I can be better for my team. And I think when you do that, you are going leaps and bounds ahead of the others. And it doesn't matter if your company has one person or 1,000 people or 100,000 people. You can find the time. You just have to carve it out. Make it a priority and see where that takes you.
I think that's great advice. We've got about 1 minute left. One of the things that I took from what you said was, you know, there's so many companies out there that have their own training teams and that train, but they're training on how to do the job better, the specifics of the job better. But what I heard you say is make yourself better and do that mm-hmm. by learning a plethora of different things from different sources.
Whatever software you use, whether it's Yardi, Intrada, Folio, they have tons of training software to help it do that job. And you're going to go to, you know, apartment association and learn how to be better at leasing or renewals, whatever it might be. That's always going to be there for our industry. But to be a good leader, I always say steal. Steal from the best. Steal from the best people in the whole United States of working. What is Google doing to train their leaders? What is Microsoft doing to train their leaders? You know, what is Tesla doing? Whatever it might be, there's leadership classes out there. There's podcasts. There's courses. There's videos. Look at how to be the best you and the best person to have people follow you. You want to manage people, you have to be able to manage yourself. And people don't put time, into themselves anymore. We're just so busy in the minutia, we lose sight of it. But you have to carve out time. And I think that's what makes a good leader, especially when you're leading multiple generations.
All right. Well, we are going to break it here. We are going to be back with our final segment of this episode right after these messages. You are listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
SMART is a national multifamily research and analytics company providing market, property, and floor plan level data to track performance, evaluate competitive strategies, and identify potential investment opportunities. Their innovative web-based software and mobile application contains extensive searchable inventory of granular historical data, floor plan by floor plan rents, concessions, and availabilities for enhanced analysis and forecasting. For more information or to sign up for a free trial, go to smartapartmentdata.com.
In a world where keeping up with an ever-evolving technology landscape continues to be a challenge, Allegion helps property managers cut through the noise to supply their residents with the amenity most critical to the digital generation, mobile access control. Ideal for the multifamily market, Allegion has designed mobile-enabled solutions that streamlines access while providing the security and benefits for developers, property managers, and residents alike. To learn more about Allegion's access control product offerings, please visit usallegion.com/MFM.
Well, we are back with our final segment of this episode of Multifamily Matters, powered by the Multifamily Media Network, and coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio. And we're discussing the topic of, hey, boomers, here come the Zoomers, how to lead, coach, and manage across multi-generational teams. I'm Paul Marks, and joining me by phone is a longtime multifamily veteran and author, the awesome Ivy Christman, the president and managing principal of Quest Management Group. I do want to take a moment and thank the rest of our exclusive sponsors that make Multifamily Matters possible: Balanced Asset Solutions, CPAs with expertise in multifamily property management, DirecTV. The ultimate entertainment experience is now available to all multifamily residents. Smart Apartment Data, the most comprehensive and up-to-date intelligence on the multifamily industry. And CTS, complete technology solutions, making managed IT an easy business decision for multifamily. So, Ivy, part of the presentation that you did at the Apartmentalize on this topic, you had some very, very interesting and powerful stats. Why don't you share some of those with our listeners?
Yeah, earlier I couldn't find the stat of what the statistic was for how many people are going to be millennials as leaders, and it's 75%. I thought it was 65, but 75% of leaders in 2025 will be millennials. That's a big number. That's something to really kind of like absorb and think about. And when you're learning your management techniques and leadership techniques, that's something to really kind of focus on. And, you know, in the next 2 years, we're going to have five or six generations still working side by side. My dad is 79. He's still working. And I have nieces and nephews that are in their teens that are going to go into the workforce. So there is a chance of all of us working in the same kind of timeline, which is really fascinating, much different than what I've seen, you know, 30 or 40 years ago. Something else I thought was kind of interesting is that, you know, we talked about this earlier with hybrid work and remote work, but about 63% of Gen Zers want that kind of work. Boomers are not as interested in hybrid work or remote work. And I find that a little bit fascinating as well, that they are willing to come to work to the job site every day, clock in, clock out, have their lunch break, and kind of get the job done. So if you're in an industry where remote work or hybrid work is just not, you know, feasible, which multifamily is that way, you know, boomers do kind of fill that spot for you, that little bit of a void, because they're not as motivated to work from home. But I thought that was pretty interesting information. And just as you're kind of looking at your dynamic, your people on site, your whole, you know, group and organization, thinking about, you know, what is making them tick. You know, look at, you know, if people are engaged, look at and see if they are actually satisfied with their pay. That was something I touched on actually in a different class. Was, you know, are you digging in and really asking those questions? Because Gen Zers are more likely to speak up when they're not happy with their pay. Millennials are not as likely to speak up, but they're also more satisfied. About 57% of millennials are satisfied with the pay that they're getting. So more than half, that's pretty good. And Gen Xers are not really speaking about it too much. They're come from a different generation where you have that meeting in private, you take your 3 or 4% pay raise every year, you call it a day. So it's just kind of, you know, knowing what you're kind of dealing with every day is very important, and looking at the satisfaction, you know, levels. I find it, you know, kind of fascinating that, you know, every kind of employee I have has, you know, different things that motivate them, but money is still a motivator for everybody. Just some people are willing to speak about it, some aren't. And in multifamily, we all have those tight budgets. We draft them in October, and then a year later, they're already, you know, out of whack a little bit. But really spend time as a leader and focus on your pay of your employees, your benefits, your structure, because that is something that all of the generations you're working with are going to have in common. They need to pay the bills. They need to be comfortable. But just some are going to voice it. That doesn't mean the others are happy, just some are more willing to speak up. So speak up for them. Be the voice for your team and really talk about that. That was something we kind of looked at that a lot of the generations just don't say. They don't say that they can't pay their bills on time or they're struggling. But Gen Zers are. They're more likely to speak up a little bit. Another part, what I thought was interesting, that, you know, 40% of Gen Zers leave their job within 2 years. And we talked about that loyalty part of it. You need to know going into it, when you're investing in a generational Z employee, they are more likely to stay with you for 1 or 2 years and maybe move on to someplace else. You can't take that personally. That is something that they're doing loyalty to themselves. But just know when you're investing time and money into them at that role, that a lot of them are going to maybe move on and take what they learned from you and take it kind of layer it someplace else. And, you know, back in the day, that might, you know, hurt our feelings as leaders, but nowadays that's just what to be expected. And we had to kind of plan and budget accordingly to kind of accommodate that. But yeah, I found some of the great stats and information when I was researching for this course. And I went through this with my whole team and I talked with it, you know, with my leaders who work for me. And we kind of, you know, said, oh yeah, you know, I'm going to focus on that. Or I want to, you know, learn more about this. Or I want to dig in better to here. You know, I did this course and my, VP was like, you know, now I want to hold myself more accountable. I think that sometimes I'm not accountable for what I'm doing. I'm going to spend more time in the field for the next few months, digging in and spending time with my employees because I've not done that for a while. So, you know, I think that there's a lot of good motivators here and things that kind of jumping off points as a leader. You go, you know what, I want to spend more time on X, Y, and Z because these stats do, you know, resonate with me and I want to do better. So, I don't know, I just thought this was some really great information. I love we got to talk about it today because I think it's how we can grow and be better as leaders.
That's amazing. I guess we've got about a minute left before I want to transition to something else. But in summary, if you wanted to summarize this topic and what people should be aware of as if they're in a leadership position, what would be the biggest takeaway?
Don't stereotype, ask questions, and lead individually. Don't blanket lead your team. It's going to drive failure. That might have worked 25 years ago. It doesn't work anymore. You know, I've been managing for 19 years, and I am a different manager today than I was 19 years ago. And not just because I became better, but that's what your team needs. They need more out of you. So don't blanket, don't stereotype, ask questions, and, you know, give individual time to every one of your employees the best you can. Even if it's 1 minute to call and say, you're doing a great job, make that phone call. And it goes a long way.
All right. We've got about 4.5 minutes left. I want to transition and let our listeners learn a little bit more about you. What's your origin story? How'd you get started in multifamily?
I'm a crazy person. I had a vendetta for quite chaos. No, my dad was a general contractor. I was around new construction my whole life. I went off to college, didn't know what I wanted to do, worked for a bank, and a company, Edward Rose, came in to offer discounts to employees. And I checked out their property, and I kind of liked the dynamic in the office. I was 22 years old, and I decided to look for a job in property management. And I got my first job for Connor Group, and I eventually worked for BH Manager for a long time, worked for some big guys, some small guys. And 19 years later, I own a management company, and I've been doing it ever since. I've done a little bit of everything from, you know, age-restrictive housing, student, conventional, Section 8, and I love it. I love the chaos. I love calm. I've done new construction, which is really exciting. I don't know. I really like managing people. I really like, you know, giving housing to people. I don't know. There's a lot of reward with this industry. Definitely some long days and a lot of screaming in my pillow sometimes, you never know. But otherwise, I mean, it fit me so well. I always say I have to practice being a wife. I have to try really hard to be a mom. But being this role has always been the easiest thing for me. So I think I found my groove. I think I found where I belong.
Well, we've got about 3 minutes left. Tell us a little bit about Quest Management and also how people can get in touch with you if they would like to find out more, as well as then I want to jump into your book. So let's talk quickly about Quest Management.
Quest Management Group was started by two brothers and a cousin, and they've been around for 25 years. I joined them about 11 years ago on a six-month contract to fix up their website and kind of get them operationally sound, and now I'm partners with them. We're based in Baltimore, family-ran business. I'm not family, but I'm family now. Those are like my brothers now, so it works out very well. And we are owner-operators, and we do a lot of value-add. Yeah, I've done it. Been there for, oh my God, 11 and a half years now, so it's been a while. And to reach me, you can always email me. It's IVY@liveq.com or go to our website at www.liveqmg.com. And yeah, I mean, it's a great company. We're actually hiring a few, not a lot of openings right now, which is a great problem to have. But we're always growing. We have about 150 employees in all. And when I started, we had about 30. So we're a much different size these days. And my book, I wrote a book a couple years ago. I was pregnant. I didn't want to use social media for a few months. I wanted to kind of stop scrolling. So anytime I wanted to scroll, I picked up my computer and wrote instead. And I wrote a fiction suspense thriller called Under the Elm. And it was just for fun. I finished it in a few months. I sent it to some publishers. And I got picked up right away by Olympia. And now I have a book out there that you can pick up and buy on Amazon if you're interested. Again, it's called Under the Elm and by Avanna Christmas.
So I am going to, on our website, on this episode page, will be a link to the book as well as a link to Quest Management. So feel free to go to the website. To our website at multifamilyradio.com to this episode, and you will be able to get a link to either of those locations. You know, we've had different, and we've only got about 30 seconds left, but we've had different folks on the show who have written books, but mostly they're about self-help and you know, how to become better at what you do. This is a fiction book in about 20 seconds. Tell us kind of the scheme of the book.
It's set in the mid-90s in rural Indiana, and it's a girl who kind of comes from a boring household, and she thinks her family is very vanilla and drab, and she finds deep family secrets that tie her to crime and murder and suspense, and, you know, it kind of unravels her livelihood, and you kind of try to uncover if she can kind of live with the new life that she's found. I wrote it because everything I write is documents and policy and procedures, so I want to write something fun. And apparently crime drama is fun for me, so that's what I wrote.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Ivy, for being on the show. We are going to be back next week with another great topic and power panel of industry experts. You've been listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Thank you for listening to Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. To find out more about the show or make suggestions for topics or interesting guests, go to multifamilyradio.com. You have been listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.